Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. Wow. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion check out of Shadoopy. All my friends that come around, let a photo party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess is down to tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Shadoopy, check out who. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855, rather. What's the number, Mavi? 855-212-4227. All right. Sometimes I get emotional. That song was so heavy. You want to get heavy? All right. Jim Wyatt joins us tonight, 1040 East, 740 West. Senior writer for Titans Online. I got a big game tomorrow with the Jags coming to Smashville. I just wanted to say I just pulled a popcorn kernel out of my mouth. I was hitting the popcorn bag with your boy TR tonight during the Duke-Hartford game.
Yeah, a little father-son popcorn over a little college basketball.
Little bonding on a bag of Orville.
How about that?
TR and I, Mavia will tell you, eat more popcorn than any human beings on the face of the earth. I average about 12 to 15 bags a week. Serious. And movie theater butter, no less. Mavia is still trying to figure out why I'm gaining weight. He's now found the answer. Movie theater butter bags, 15 a week. That'll do it.
Absolutely. I mean, the popcorn, the popcorners, all the little snacks that you used to hold off for the weekends. Now you're just doing during the week.
Right. Mavia said he thinks I should start drinking Guinness again. He did mention that if I drank a lot of Guinness, I would get fat quick. He wants to put 20 pounds on me so I can get back to banging in the low block.
We did have a lot of fun getting wasted here and there.
It is true. Scott Miller joins us, Bleacher Report legend. We'll talk to him about baseball at 11:03 East, 8:03 Vegas time. It is true we're going to Vegas, Carver High, for the Super Bowl. Just wanted to remind you that the Super Bowl is literally, it's like, what? It's like 2 months? Is that about right? Is it all of December, all of January? So February 3rd is the day, right?
Less than 2 months at this point.
But we're going to be out there like the week of December 27th or January 27th, is that right?
Sunday is the 27th of January. It's a Sunday.
So January 26th, we'll be there.
If that's how we get it scheduled,
That'll be organized quickly. We need to organize that with our great affiliate and our legendary friends out in Vegas.
NHL All-Star Week.
David Briggs and everybody at 1140, they know what's up. They know we roll in on Saturdays so that we can roll the dice and hit that free bet blackjack table for a full, 40 hours. We're looking at an early debriefing of 40 hours. Hit it. Gambling. Oh, a big meal. That Shangri-La $500 break-in. Break the mid-end dinner. Slap that mid-end. Come on. Remember you used to put a rock in the glove and park it under the dad's tire? Have dad run over it a few times?
Go with the meatball.
Yeah.
Shrimp.
I went with, the meatballs.
Surf and turf.
Jesus. I'm feeling like like you said the other night, a salary cap hit on that. They're going to put a cap on that. I have a feeling they're going to ruin. They should let me know that prior to me going so that I can cancel. Because if they're going to put a cap on my eating habits, it's going to be a problem. Mavia has said his goal is to put 15 on me, and he said he wants me to eat more drumstick, more bags of popcorners, more bags of movie theater butter popcorn, more of everything, more soda, more coffee, creamer, sugar, more espressos. Bring it all back, he said. Guinness, too.
Of course, the more out of shape you are, the more minutes I get, so why wouldn't I be for that?
You play tonight for another team, you traitor, backstabber.
I wouldn't play against you guys this time. When I did that last time, it was against you guys, and we won this time.
Yeah, nice job. It was nice job with that, by the way, with you and who was it? You and Vassal.
Not my fault. You guys got to play. You know, you got to come to play.
Nice job.
They need a little help because they were facing the big Coco and then facing the team with all the size, and they had none. Their biggest guy is what, like 5'10"? So
you played tonight and played literally the whole game.
Yeah, the one time when I tried to come out, so I wasn't a minute hog because it's not my team. They yelled at me to get back in, so I pretty much played like 42 or 44 minutes.
That's because you're 6'5 and big and you block shots.
Four of them tonight.
There you go. And an article about why no one wants to play with LeBron anymore. By the way, TR, my old father, who's visiting for a week, TR legend, he was on today's For All in the Bets podcast. He's on tomorrow's For All in the Bets podcast, reminiscing with TR on a daily basis this week, seeing what he can remember in sports.
It is beautiful.
He told me tonight, he literally said to me tonight, he was watching, who is Zion Williamson? And I said, he's the star player that they're comparing to LeBron James. And he said, who's LeBron James? That's what he said to me. And I said,
oh, please.
Pretty much. He didn't know who he was because he just doesn't, you know, watch the NBA. He has nothing to do with it. All he likes is the Steelers, the Penguins, the Pirates.
Goals from everybody and his brother here tonight.
And Duke. Duke basketball, that's it. Anyway, so no one wants to play with LeBron anymore. Is that true? Kevin Durant calls the environment playing with LeBron James, quote, toxic, end quote. Says it goes beyond the basketball court. Do you believe big stars don't want to join up with LeBron? Do you actually believe that? I just don't think I believe that.
I don't believe it.
For one minute, anyone that, like, ask any of those guys, like JR or Love or any of them, they all want to play with him.
I think it'll really be tested over the next, what, year or two as the Lakers
ask
try
Wade
to acquire
if he like
another
playing
star
with him. How about that guy Whiteside down there? He's going to get thrown out of Miami. They're about done with him, aren't they?
Yeah, this has been a couple times with him now.
Speaking of toxic, that relationship is toxic. And you know who's not going to put up with that is Pat Riley.
It seems like we're in the same situation last year. It's like he gets in trouble. They hate him. They're not playing him. And all of a sudden he goes off and goes on a run, and they love him again. And then it goes
then
back to this. It's just up
like,
and down with him.
He's like
peaks and valleys.
He really is like a, you know, I don't think he knows how to handle money and fame, to be honest with you.
Doesn't know how to handle not playing.
Yeah,
doesn't know how to be a team player.
That's right. He's an issue. The Cardinals acquire 5-time All-Star slugger Paul Goldschmidt from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Goldschmidt has 1 year left on his deal before a free agency. Will Goldschmidt become more of a household name in St. Louis? That's just automatic. St. Louis is a baseball town. That is it. You can say whatever you want about St. Louis. It is a baseball town. That's what it is. That's all it is. It is awesome. And the St. Louis Cardinals win championships. And they needed a player like this, if you ask me. He is going to be what J.D. Martinez was for the Red Sox, Carver High. In my opinion, Goldschmidt will tear it up in St. Louis. And he will be a superstar in St. Louis. Whereas in Arizona, nobody gave a rat's ass.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a big profile for him, and I don't believe that he'll be a free agent next year. I think that he'll sign long-term with the Cardinals.
Long-term. He's going to be Albert Pujols there.
Probably.
With the Broncos in the middle of a playoff push, they got a tough bit of news today as Emmanuel Sanders tore his ACL in practice. I thought it was a Achilles that he popped. I could be wrong. Derek Fisher gets back into the head coaching game. He'll be the L.A. Sparks WNBA coach. Stylin'. PharrellOnTheBench.com is rocking during the holidays with tons of picks. Tomorrow, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Saturday, Army, Navy. Sunday night, Rams, Bears. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Are the bowl games up and running? Is that all happening? Bowl games are up. Every pick for every bowl game is already posted on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget episode 87 tomorrow. Sidney Crosby, the number 87. Episode 87 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play. Drops every morning, Tuesday through Sunday, a half-hour sports betting show. It's basically a show about that day's action, everything going on that you can bet on in sports. I think you'll dig it. Check it out. Subscribe free and follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So have you ever seen this thing where you look at Tom Brady against the remaining, like all these AFC contenders, the quarterbacks? Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against him, right? Ben Roethlisberger is 2-8 against him. Andrew Luck 0-6. Mahomes 0-1. And then the Texans in general, the whole team, 1-9 against him. You think you want to run into him in the playoffs? They've won 8-9. Everyone writes him off. Have you ever seen anything like how legitimately there is no one talking about them at all right now at all for the Super Bowl? They're just, you don't hear anyone saying Patriots ever. Not once. Have you heard anyone say that? It's all been Rams, Saints,
Chiefs,
and really, that's it. And now you have more people talking about Philip Rivers and the Chargers after they beat the Steelers. You even have more people talking about the Steelers going to the deep in the playoffs than you do people talking about Brady and the Patriots. You realize that?
Texans won 9 in a row. Everybody likes talking about the
Texans. Oh, the Texans.
But like that stat shows you, none of these teams ever beat them. They never beat the Patriots. And they're not going to this year either. There's only one way that these teams are going to beat the Patriots. They need them to lose some more games. And they need the Patriots to have to play the first weekend. Not get a bye, not play at home.
Right. Do you think they're going to lose to the Dolphins in Miami this weekend?
I do not. I know that they don't play well down there.
They always play bad down there. Why is that? Why? It's the craziest thing. Like, I'm betting on them, but do you really think... Like, 7.5 to me seems enormous for the Dolphins. The way they play the Pats, it's like the one game they lick their chops for every year. Am I wrong? And look at that team. The Texans, Chiefs, right, are, Chiefs 10-2, Texans 9-3, the Pats are 9-3. So they're going to get a bye.
They're going to get a bye as long as they win their games. They're going to get a bye.
And if they keep winning, they're 6-0 at home. They're going to play in Gillette in that divisional semi and then – more than likely, if Kansas City wins out the AFC Championship, if they were to make it at past the semi,
right?
Because they'll get a bye, is that it would be at Arrowhead, right? Bottom line. But this is a team that you know as well as I do that never gets it done. I mean, they haven't gotten it done since Len Dawson, right? I mean, honestly. So... do you believe that is all, that their haunting past of playoff failures is out the window because of Pat Mahomes?
No, I do not. I still need to see them do it in the playoffs.
So you still believe that they've got like some rub-off jinx thing going there because they never get it done in the postseason? I mean, literally.
I can't just assume that a guy...
They're like the Bengals.
I just can't assume that a guy, as great a year as he's having... who has never played a playoff game.
Has anything to do with it.
Fine, it doesn't have anything to do with what's happened in the past, but rookie quarterbacks going and playing their first playoff games, let's put that in there too.
Okay, throw that
so
in.
That matters to me. I think about stuff like that.
Right.
So as great a year as he's had, and he's scored a million points, he's just lost his running back too, by the way.
Right.
I need to see him do that in the playoffs. Now, they're one game ahead of New England to have that home field. Could they lose another game and New England run out? I don't know.
Right.
They're home for the Ravens this week. Ravens have played well.
The Ravens are kind of hot.
They got to play the Chargers again. The Chargers
That's
have played
next
pretty
week.
Good. They're going to Seattle. Seattle's going to need that game.
They got the Chargers and Ravens, Chargers, and Raiders. Three of their last four are at home.
So they've got a. There's a chance that they could lose a game there, right? Out of those three games. There's absolutely a chance.
I guess there's a chance. I like their odds having three home games, to be honest with you.
And then when New England wins out and they finish with the same record, New England's going to end up hosting a game, right?
New England ends up with two games at the end, Bills and Jets at home. And
right. The big game for the Patriots is the Steeler game because
right.
They're going to beat the other three. They're playing the three AFC East teams and the Steelers. So if they win the Steeler game, the Patriots are going to have home field again because I think the Chiefs are going to lose.
So you think
there.
They beat the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets and go 12-4?
They're going to absolutely.
And you think they're losing to the Steelers?
No. I'm saying if they win the Steeler game, which they probably will.
Right.
And they're going to finish, what's that, 13-3, right?
That would be 13
I think the Chiefs are going to lose one of these four games.
But then they would still go 13-3.
And the Patriots would have it because the Patriots beat them straight up.
That's right, 43-40. So they'd get
once again, it would go through Foxborough.
That is unbelievable. The Patriots can clinch their 10th straight division title with a win or tie at Miami on Sunday, and they would join the Atlanta Braves, the only franchise from the NFL NBA, baseball, or hockey to win at least 10 straight division titles. Not including the 94 strike shortened MLB season, the Braves won 14 straight division titles and won World Series. The Pats have done better than that in terms of Super Bowls and winning and even going to them. Mafia.
The big thing about the Kansas City Chiefs is what we're going to find out in the next couple weeks about them and how they're going to change that offense, because Hunt was a huge part of that. We always talk about Mahomes. We talk about Hill. We talk about Kelsey. But Hunt was a big part of that, whether it's coming out of the backfield and catching balls because he had great, you know, receiving hands for a running back and can make things happen in the open field, or running the ball. He was a big part of that offense and helped them a lot. So now having to recalibrate that and having to go with Sha'Carri West or these other guys that they're bringing in.
Spencer Ware.
You know, it's a big drop-off. So how do they recalibrate that offense in the next couple weeks to get it back up and make it high octane like it was? Because that's going to change it drastically.
Do you think that their defense, in terms of, you know, look at this team here, you know, you go down their path, 28, 37, this is what they allowed, 27, 23, 14, 40 to the Pats, the 43-40 loss, 43 there, 10, 23, 21, 14, 51 to the 54 points they gave to the Rams. They scored 51 in that game, and then they gave up 33 to the Raiders. When you saw them give up 33 points to the Raiders, did that not, like, surprise anybody that, like, their defense is not, like, not up to snuff?
I was shocked. As good as they are offensively, you know, we've seen,
they're
like
Oklahoma.
You said, their defense isn't great, but the Raiders are terrible. To give up that many points to the Raiders, all of a sudden, that was, like, the game of the year for the Raiders with how much they scored. I couldn't believe it. I thought they're going to blow their doors off, and instead they let them come back and make it, you know, feasible and close and covered.
That team is not getting home field. And they're not going to the Super Bowl.
There you go. Carver High throwing down the gauntlet. I'm doing the Raiders podcast.
You were saying that.
With JT the Brick. Tomorrow, I'm laying that down in some capacity or another. I'm going to write that down, Mafia, in the Things to Do book. Can you do that for me? It's very important. That...
So let it be written. So let it be done.
We need to... keep focused on my, you know, schedule of things I need to do, because I've been known to miss things. Not really. As long as somebody reminds me. I reminded myself, actually, that I have to do it tomorrow. The one thing I wrote was, it's because I love JT. I'll do anything for him. But I think it's just, I wrote that here, pain in my ass that I have to do this. Everything I have to do, Mafia, remember, like, go to the dump, pain in the ass. Got to go, you know, tonight we had to go do the media for the basketball league, pain in the ass.
Everything that doesn't involve you eating popcorn or watching sports is a pain in the ass.
In 34C's phone, when my son calls, when it comes up, the name says pain in the ass. Everything is just kind of a...
What does it come up when you call? Biggest mistake?
Lover. Leader. Winner. Scalper. And, Caribbean doobie roller.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
By the way, Mafia, the earbud thing worked on the Bose buds. Very strong effort by you giving me that clip, because now my earpiece no longer falls out of my head when I'm playing basketball or working out. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. If you're on hold, chill out. Don't give up. I'm going to get to you, I promise. Jim Wyatt is a senior writer for Titans Online. They got a big game tomorrow night in Smashville in the division against the Jags. And the way the Jaguars, I mean, they won last week 6-0, but let's face facts, they've been terrible this year. Their whole season has kind of imploded. There's talk about Marone getting fired, everything else. Wouldn't you think, Jim, thanks for coming on the bench, that the Titans need to take advantage of this and beat this team? They're still in it. They have a playoff shot. This is a big game for the Titans, and I don't think it means anything to Jacksonville.
Yeah, but the Titans would be dangerous to kind of have that line of thinking that this is going to be a pushover, it's going to be an easy win, because they've made that mistake a couple of times this year. Went to Buffalo and lost, you know, laid an egg at home against Baltimore earlier this season. Had two back-to-back bad games against the Colts and the Texans. So the Titans need to rise up and play well. This is a division opponent. It's It's always kind of a slugfest when these two teams play. Jacksonville knocked them out of the playoffs at the end of the 2016 season. So they'll be coming in here wanting to win and wanting to get a little bit of payback for some previous games. And so Titans have to be ready for a fist fight tomorrow night.
Yeah, they beat them 9-6. The Titans won that game in Jacksonville. I'm just saying, I think they have to go win the game. I think that they have to play with a severe urgency. I honestly believe it's so crucial that they win the game. It's like their playoff lives depend on it. They cannot afford to lose to this team. They have to take that game tomorrow night. Like, it's got to be done.
I agree with you on that, and I'll be honest with you. I think the Titans are going to have to run the table to get in the playoffs, and that would get them to 10-6. Titans lose a game between now and the end of the season and finish at 9-7, they're going to be in trouble because – look at the tiebreakers and some of the teams they'd be matched up against. You know, the Dolphins they've lost to. They lost to the Colts, lost to the Chargers, lost to the Ravens. You know, the AFC record is not very good, and the head-to-head against some of these teams that are lumped in with right now, they're not going to win some of those tiebreakers. So Titans have got to approach things, and players and coaches obviously taking this thing one game at a time. But when I look at it, Titans are not going to win the AFC South. Their path to get into the playoffs is as a wild card, and they're going to need to get to 10 wins, I think, to get in.
So what did you think about the comeback against the Jets, at least?
Well, I was impressed. I wasn't impressed with the start because it was ugly early. I was impressed with the resiliency, and I was impressed with the ability to kind of get off the mat and win that game late. Marcus Mariota has been a gamer in crunch time. He has 12 game-winning drives in his career. He's had 8 in the past 2 seasons. As bad as things looked early, they looked great at the end. And a lot of guys made plays for him. Mariota, you know, was kind of fearless in those moments. He's been good in primetime contests as well. So I like what I have seen from him when the game was on the line. Now the Titans have got to figure out a way to do that consistently. And just being honest, I mean, I talk about this team needing to win the final four. You'll lump in this game against the Jets. That would give them a 5-game winning streak in the season. They have not played consistently 5 games in a row yet. So they're going to have to do something they haven't done at this point. I think this team's capable, but they're going to have to do it.
So you wrote about what Vrabel did up front with that offensive line, moving things around. You know, I just want to get your opinion on Luan and Conklin. They spent a ton of money on these two. How is it working out? I mean, are they all everything for the Titans and in terms of are they getting their money's worth?
Well, I mean, I think Conklin, and he admits it. I mean, he's coming off an ACL injury, missed the first part of the season. He couldn't work throughout the offseason, and he's having, you know, some difficulties adjusting, not from a health standpoint, but also from a scheme standpoint, what's being asked of him. He hasn't played up to expectations so far. I still think he has it in him. I don't think he's forgotten how to play football. This is a guy that was an all-pro just a couple of years ago. But he has to settle down and play what better. I think Luan would probably say the same thing. I mean, I think Luan has been solid for the most part this year. But I think you look at that group, the starting five, you know, there's been a disappointment this season. They've allowed too many sacks. Mariota's been sacked, you know, I think it's now 38 times this season. You know, he's getting hit too much. The run game's been inconsistent. So the offensive line as a whole has to get better. And as you mentioned, Vrabel made some changes in the middle of the game against the Jets. It kind of remains to be seen what happens moving forward. But he thought it needed to be fixed enough where he was willing to move some guys around in the middle of the game.
So tell me about, you know, Derrick Henry's been real physical, pounding it for him, and he's had success against the Jaguars. Are they leaning more, giving Henry more work?
Well, I think he's earned more carries. Derrick Henry, and he'd be the first to tell you, wasn't very good at the start of the season. I thought he was tentative. I don't think he looked physical. I think, you know, he's hesitant to hit the hole at times, tried to bounce it outside. I like what he's done since the bye week when he's kind of lowered his shoulder. And He's hammered away. He scored 5 touchdowns in the last 6 games. He's been the better back, compared to Deion Lewis in the past couple of weeks. So, Matt LaFleur, Mike Vrabel have talked so much about rewarding guys who have played well. I think Derrick Henry's played well. They're not going to completely go away from Deion Lewis. You're still going to see both of them out there tomorrow night, but I think you're going to see Henry play. What's important for the Titans? They need to get a lead. I mean, playing catch up like that against the Jets doesn't put you in a good situation to run the football. If the Titans can get a lead, you can start to see maybe them hammer away a little bit.
Jim Wyatt with Titans Online with us on the bench. Tell me about the defense against Fournette, who's coming back from that suspension for the fight in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, Fournette will have fresh legs. I mean, these Thursday games are tough because everybody's coming off of Sunday when your body's still recovering. One thing Fournette has going for him is he didn't play because of the fight. He hasn't played in 6 quarters. So he'll come in here, and I think the Titans expect them to run it. T.J. Yeldon's no slouch either. I mean, I think the Titans will see both of those guys. You know, we're not too far removed from a primetime game on Monday Night Football where the Titans were gassed by Lamar Miller and gave up, almost 300 rushing yards. So they're going to have to play a lot better tomorrow night against the Jaguars. I think the Titans, suspect they're going to see Jacks will try to just hammer away throughout the game. And they better be ready to play some defense.
So tell me this, Jim Wyatt with us from Titans Online. The wide receivers, Davis, Taylor, and Sharp, how do you think they're going to do? I thought they looked good against the Jets. How do you think they're going to do against that, talented Jags secondary with Big Mouth Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, they have to be ready to play and be ready to be physical because, as you mentioned, I mean, Ramsey is a talker. He's physical. Him and Bouye, both of them are really good corners. I mean, they've got some history with the Titans. And, Jacksonville's corners and their entire secondary will come in here and try to disrupt some of the things the Titans have been doing. And I really like what I saw out of the receivers this past weekend. Davis with the touchdown catch. Taywan Taylor got open on a couple of deep balls, had a 100-yard game. Tajay Sharp stepped up, made some big catches on one drive. Those guys have just got to keep doing what they've been doing. They can't get flustered by what Jacksonville tries to do to them. And the Titans have to rely on some of the tight ends as well. Anthony Firkser, a Harvard kid, has played well in recent weeks. Jonnu Smith, who had a big touchdown catch against the Texans on Monday Night Football the other night, he's going to have to be a part of it. Titans have to rely on a lot of guys in the passing game to make the offense go.
So they like Vrabel? It seems that way.
I like Vrabel, and I think the players like him too. I mean, they respect him. He's done it before. He kind of knows what when to kind of ease back, and he kind of knows when to push. And that's the thing now he's got to do is figure out a way to keep this team consistent and to play well week in and week out. He hasn't been able to figure that out yet. He says it himself. Man, it's been tough understanding how the Titans can go from looking so good against Dallas and looking so good against the Patriots and then looking so bad against Buffalo and Baltimore and Indy. I mean, they've got to figure out a way to do it on a consistent basis. And if they don't, then this is going to be a season to look back on. It's several games that kept them on the outside looking in. They do have a stretch of games coming up in December where they're probably going to be favored in a lot of these games. And they have to figure out a way to win when you're expected to win, and that's going to have to start tomorrow night against the Jaguars.
Yeah, no doubt. I'd like to see that game with the Colts, the last game that's in Smashville, be for a playoff wild card. I think that would make that game very delicious late in December. Jim Wyatt, Titans Online. Great stuff tonight on the Titans. Enjoy the game tomorrow night in Tennessee, Jacksonville, and the Titans 8:20. Thanks so much, Jim, for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jim Wyatt with Titans Online. Let's go to Drew in Philadelphia. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, what's going on, Scotty?
Hey, bro. I'm here, man. Let's go.
Hey, man. Just wanted to talk about the Penguins and what you thought about their season so far and what's going on with them.
Well, I think they've been terribly disappointing, to be honest with you. I can't, really say much other than I think their defense has been deplorable. They let, in my opinion, October and November blow by and put themselves in this position where they were at one point in last place in the Metropolitan. I thought they were really playing lifeless hockey, and then Crosby was out a little bit, and you know they've been talking recently about it, from what I'm hearing of trading Kessel. They got rid of Sprong. I mean, they are, you know, they re-signed Rutherford as the GM. They're obviously making changes. They are not a good hockey team this year, in my opinion. I thought last night they looked good, even though they blew a 3-0 lead, the worst lead in hockey, 3-0. They blew it, but then they doubled them up because Hornqvist had the hat trick. I don't think they've played well. They've been average, and that's what their record is, 11-10-5, 27 points. Last 10 games, 4-4-2. Bottom line is, at home, average at home, 6-6-2. Average on the road, 5-4-3. The average in scoring, average in, goals allowed. I think their defense is bad. They barely have more goals than they have goals allowed. I think their power play has been, you know, at one point they were the highest scoring team in the league in the first month, but that all ended, and that went down the drain. I just don't think they've played really good hockey at all, but I'm not in favor at this point. This is just me on the surface. The initial thought I had was, I don't trade Kessel. That's, you know, I think he's a perfect fit on that team. He scores a lot of goals. He has scored a ton of goals there. He's been very productive there. I don't see why you get rid of someone that scores as much as him, Carver High, to be honest with you. Honestly, if I have guys like that that score that many goals and are involved in that many plays that lead to goals, I don't get rid of guys like that.
Here's the thing. You're not getting rid of, obviously, Crosby or Malkin. And you need to help other areas of the team. You got to get rid of somebody. It's just, if you really want to help, let's say get a defenseman or get something like that, you know.
So you say
trade, I don't believe
Kessel.
They'll trade him. I don't believe that they will. I think that he'll be on the Penguins for the rest of the year.
Really? And what about, do you keep guys like Hornqvist that just had a hat trick last night? Why would you get rid of him?
I mean, he's been good for them. You know, the nucleus of the guys that have won is still there for the most part.
So, you know, I'm not trading Gensel. I'm not trading, frankly, Kessel. You know, they brought Derek Brassard in there. Would you trade him?
Hasn't worked out.
I would trade him. I would trade Brian Rust. I don't know if anybody would freak out. I mean, I'm sure they could get something. Matt Cullen, I think, is finished.
I don't know if you're going to get what you need for those players.
Right. They already dealt Hagelin. Trade the whole team. Trade everybody. Do you think they're mad at Sullivan now that they're not winning after he won 2 Stanley Cups? Anyway, we got another big hour. Scott Miller coming up from Bleacher Report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.